Now, everything like this is difficult to discern because the people that are out for their own glory will do everything they can to convince you, yeah, I'm a servant of humanity, I'm not out for my own glory. So there's always deception to be seen through. There's not a black and white formula that we can reduce down to find the middle way where the truth is. And this is what makes it awkward. This is why we always have to go back to what vibrates to the truth that's within your own soul. Yeah.
Well, this is Philip. One of the things that I've noticed for how to recognize somebody who's out for their own good is versus somebody who's actually truly trying to help, is that somebody who's out for their own good will attempt to make you dependent upon them. They will help you get so far, but they will never make you independent. Whereas somebody who is truly out to serve you will give you all the keys that you need and cut the strings and give you the independence to move forward without them so that they're no longer needed.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Phil. Is that the true servants of humanity will try to duplicate themselves. Anything, any ability they have, like Jesus said to his disciples, he says, greater things than that I have done shall you do. Now, what kind of person says that?
Humble.
You know? We don't hear that from the leaders. Yeah, you're going to be greater than me. You don't hear that anywhere. But Jesus said it. And it turned out the disciples did some pretty amazing things. It was just, they raised the dead. They Philip of that ancient time apparently teleported himself, and they did some pretty amazing things that even Jesus didn't do that we know about.
Did they?
Yeah.
There's an interesting phenomenon going on in the LDS Church right now. It used to be that you would always hear, follow the prophet, follow the prophet. President Nelson is teaching the people right now to get their own revelation.
Really?
And he's teaching them that if you don't get your own revelation, you will not make it through the next few years. You must have your own revelation. And that is not something that has been taught in eons in the LDS faith.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing.
That's huge. So it's always been follow the prophet, follow the prophet.
That's good news. Good to hear.
Also, the temple will be open house after for a year before they close it.
Now, my brother-in-law tells me the LDS are also preparing places in camps.
They are.
If there's an emergency that people can escape to.
They've tripled a lot of the girls' camps and boys' camps, and they're drilling new wells, and they've put white tents, like huge white tents all over the United States
to prepare. Well, maybe they listened to me and Curtis when we went there with McConkie and Peterson, because they said, well, I understand you got some kind of message. What's your message? And we told them, well, you're completely unprepared if there's the economy falls apart or something. They read my novelette about The Journey's End. It begins with the excommunication of Curtis, which was true, and then it goes into fiction where the LDS are hunted down because they have a year's supply. When the economy collapsed, the LDS turned out to be the ones that are hunted down by mobs, and they had no place to go. And Peterson looked at that and he says, boy, this is written by the devil himself, pretty much.
This is Hellspawn, he said.
Hellspawn, he said, this is worse than Playboy.
Oh.
That Playboy was the worst thing that could come to his mind. He was trying to compare it.
But it's different now. That's what I'm telling you. That the
maybe they listened to me and Curtis.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. Maybe they thought, they have a point. Well, they're ill prepared. They need to prepare.
Can they get their own revelation then on the vaccination?
Yeah.
What President Nelson said 2 months ago was to counsel with your medical people and get the guidance of the Holy Ghost. So he definitely told people.
But they pretty much give a command to get the vaccination.
Well, isn't there always a paradox given, just like in the Garden of Eden? That you're told to do one thing, then you're told to do another thing, and there's a complete paradox. And the church is being rent in two because of it.
Yeah. I know, I did read that a lot of Mormons aren't going along with the vaccination thing, but...
JJ?
Yeah.
If you look at the history of Nelson, Nelson had a pretty intense revelation as a doctor. Mm-hmm. He learned a new technique while he was on the operating table working on a guy. It was entirely the guy's faith that pushed Nelson into it. If you hear the story, the guy said, "You need to do an operation," and Nelson said, "I don't know what to do. There's no solution for this." And the guy said, "I have faith. I know the Lord will tell you. Just move forward." So Nelson opens him up. He's doing open heart surgery. And as Nelson is doing the operation...
Was Nelson a heart surgeon?
Yeah.
A heart surgeon. Was? I didn't know that.
He had a revelation of how to fix this guy's heart using special stitches. And so he could see it. He could see how it was going to work. He performed it, he tested it, everything worked out great, closed the guy up, and he had this amazing experience powered by this other guy's faith, but also his faith, because he actually did the work. But having that experience really impacted his life. It's like one of his major revelations that he refers to. And so he knows that revelation's real, and he's encouraging other people to have similar type experiences.
Yeah.
So it was majorly impacting on his life. Now, right on his heels, we see Oakes. Oakes is next in line to be the prophet, and he's very much follow the leaders. If your revelation contradicts, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
The leaders are right. And so there's this kind of two thought forms are being pushed at the same time.
Yeah, interesting.
And it is interesting, and I hope Nelson outlasts Oakes.
It's kind of funny with me and Curtis. Me and Curtis went to the church headquarters, warned them that they were ill-prepared and they needed to do something to prepare for an economic collapse. But what would be frustrating to me and Curtis if there was a collapse and all of a sudden the church followed our advice, they're prepared, and they won't let us survive. They won't let us participate because we're excommunicated. That would be kind of ironic. I was hoping by this time when I first started teaching the gathering that we would have a whole city built and be completely self-sustaining. But that did not happen
yet,
and not yet. So hopefully it will happen in time when it is needed. Okay, any other comments or questions on the Middle Way here?
Well, I was going to say on the Middle Way, it wasn't that Joe and I wanted to be excommunicated. When we went, we wanted to appeal our excommunication.
Once you talk into this, Curtis, if you're going to talk over a minute.
Not too close.
We went to see Bruce R. McConkie and Mark E. Peterson.
Further? Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Are we okay now?
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Because we wanted to get back into the church because we felt like we could do more good in the church than out of the church. Plus, we didn't feel like we had done anything to merit an excommunication. So we went to find out why we couldn't have a retrial. And they said, well, we don't do retrials anymore. We don't have that quorum of 12. See, in the Doctrine and Covenants, there are two groups of 12, one a traveling high council and a standing high council. And the standing high council was to judge difficult cases. And we presented a difficult case. And so they said, well, we're not doing that anymore. And I we took the scriptures and we said, well, it says right here that if you don't follow the scriptures the way they're written, that you will be damned. It says that. Section 29. And it says in section 132 that we had the right to a retrial as though no such decision had been made. So we said, well, here we have a right to a retrial and you're denying us that privilege. And if you don't give us a retrial and you're not following the scriptures, then you will be damned if you so continue. Well, that really upset him. We said that because we said that. And that pretty much ended the interview. But we weren't anti-Mormon or anything. We were pro-truth, and all we wanted was to be heard and to have a retrial as though no such decision had been made.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't one back in it all myself. I just wanted to the church to face the reality of what they were trying to do to us. And so we wanted them to defend the fact that they were trying to excommunicate us unjustly. But,
right.
Yeah. And so we did our best to make that happen.